And that's a word for somebody here this morning. Your new beginning starts today. Lawrence, that's a well-written song, by the way. You finished it at the red light right across the street on the way to church this morning. That's how God uses Lawrence. You can open your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Matthew. I want to speak this morning on entering God's rest. It is the most neglected spiritual discipline. When God mentions in Scripture His rest that's available for His children, He takes it as a serious thing. And He's extended an invitation for all of His followers to enter into a place of rest with Him. And yet, it is so neglected, we probably don't scratch the surface of what's available to us. I want to begin in Matthew chapter 11. These are the words of Jesus. They're written in red. Verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn." These are great words. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is not a trick question. I'm asking for a show of hands. How many of you know what it's like to be depleted, drained, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted? Some of you can barely raise a hand this morning. That's why it's the most neglected spiritual discipline. We don't put a priority on it, certainly not like God puts a priority on this place of rest. He invites us to come and be with Him in this special place of rest. And He invites everyone who listens to Him. He said, "All of you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Now, everything in the world is designed to stop this from happening. That's why it's a discipline we neglect. We hit the ground running every morning, and all of us have a to-do list, and we prioritize and we categorize, and we know first things come first. And sometimes we will go a day, a week, a month, a year, and sadly, many people live a lifetime and never know what it is to enter God's rest. But it's something that should happen regularly as a lifestyle, like breathing, as a discipline in the life of a believer. The word rest means to cease and desist from all struggle. Wouldn't that be nice? Our exertion. A place of rest is intermission. It's recreation. It's renewal. It's refreshing. It means being inwardly quiet, composed, and peaceful. To put it in our vernacular in today's terms, it means to get off the merry-go-round and take a breather. Some of us need that regularly. We need to build that into our worship discipline and find a place of peace and calm and quiet and rest frequently. In Acts chapter 3:19, we're promised that times of refreshing come in the presence of the Lord. So when we find ourselves in His presence, that should be more than once a week on Sunday morning, when it's easy to feel the presence of God collectively. We get together, worship, we lift up His name, He draws near to us. He shows Himself strong in our corporate assembly because we've gathered in His name, and He's promised, "I'll show up when you do that." We lift up our praise and worship to Him. It's a tangible presence on Sunday morning. It is refreshing. But we need it more than just once a week. You can have it every day. It's a promise without a shelf life. Jesus said, "Come to me, learn from me. I will give you rest. And in his presence, you will find times of refreshing. Now, rest is so important spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and even physically. Rest. Because it's hard to feel blessed when you don't feel your best. Amen. Anybody out here feeling your best today? I feel the most blessed when I feel my best. And so rest. Lawrence, I see another song coming. Blessed, best, rest, test, messed. Work with it. Not now, Lawrence. It is the most neglected spiritual gift of our time, and God himself set the example of rest, because after 6 days of labor, he said, on the seventh day, I'm resting. Now, it wasn't because he was tired or needed to be refreshed. There is no diminishing in God at every level. So he's always perfect and pure and absolute and utmost in every way. He didn't rest because he was tired and exhausted, not God. But he rested because there's a power in the principle, and he did it as an example for us to follow. There's a new illness we've heard about in recent years. They didn't have a name for it when I was a boy growing up, but they call it now chronic fatigue syndrome. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. It's a curse of our time, of our generation, with all of the technology that we have that's supposed to make our life so much easier. It's a joke, isn't it? We're more stressed out, more worried and frantic and stretched in so many different directions, more so in our day than in any previous generation. Chronic fatigue syndrome. But God gives rest, and he gives freedom in that rest from whatever disturbs you or worries you. Now, I do know about that. I've been able to enter in enough to realize that the burden can lift. It's casting your cares over on the Lord. And care casting is a lost art among God's people today. Some people just cannot shake the care, the weight, the heavy burden that we carry that exhausts us and drains us. Just can't shake it. Now, I can shake it because I can't take it. Lawrence? I'm poetic up in here today. I'm counting on you to put some tune. I just can't take it. I mean, I cannot handle it. I'm aware. I wasn't built for it. God built me. He built you. He knows our frame. He knows what we were built to take. And he's promised he's not going to allow us to bear up under more than we can handle. He knows our frame. And he knows mine. And I just can't handle heavy burdens long. I have learned years ago, and I'm still learning more about it, but I can do it like this. Lord, you got to handle that. That's about how quick it is for me, because I have tried the other way, and I get buried. I get completely dysfunctional. And so at the first sign, maybe not the first always, the second or third sometimes, but at the sign that I'm getting buried with a heavy burden, I know how to cast it, because I know, oh, you're better at this. You're better at this. You offer this to me. You said cast it over on you and you because you care for me. So thank you for caring for me and taking care of this while you're at it. If it concerns you, it concerns him even more than it concerns you. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 18 and 19. This is how serious God takes rest. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest? But to those who did not obey. So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. I want to take you back as to what that was talking about. Back in the Old Testament, God's people, the children of Israel, under bondage for 400 years, and then in a wilderness for 40. And the promise of God had been all that time, I'm going to lead you to a land of promise, and in that land, you will find rest. That was his promise. And yet the writer of Hebrews here in the New Testament looks back at that historical recording and reminds us that even though God promised them a land of rest, where God said, you will rest from your enemies in this place I have for you. I'm going to give it to you. And the writer of Hebrews says, they didn't even make it in because of their unbelief. They doubted God could give them rest, even though he spoke by promise to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 9, back in that day, because you have not yet arrived at the place of rest, the land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession. So there it is again, God promising, you've not gotten there yet, but I'm giving it to you. I'm leading you there now. Joshua chapter 1:13. Remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you? The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Now they were at the border of the land, ready to walk in and enjoy the rest of God. But still, even that close to the border, I mean, Moses was dead. Joshua was God's man now. Moses brought him to the border but couldn't go over with him, so he died, and God raised up Joshua. And God spoke to Joshua and said, now it's your time. It's time for you to arise. And the Hebrew means it's time for you to perform and succeed. You're at the border. Take my people in. They will find rest from their enemies in this land right here. Go for it. And even still, while they were at the border, some didn't qualify to cross into the new land, into God's rest, into God's promise. Why? Because of their unbelief. Many people today cannot enjoy God's rest because they do not believe it's possible for them to have rest in their world, in their life, in their house, all that's going on. So many financial pressures in people's lives today, vocational challenges. Some people, maybe some even in this auditorium right now, looking for a job or a better job. And the weight and the burden of all of that as you provide for yourself and your family. Then people who are dealing with sickness, physical challenges in their bodies. Life comes in seasons. And then dysfunctional relationships and the stress of it all. And many people never find this place of rest in God, because of the same reason the children of Israel never did. They just didn't believe it was possible. Read it in the Word, heard God say it. Moses gave it. Well, I hear it, but I just don't believe it. I don't believe God can give me the rest I need with all of this going on. Hello, it's the most neglected spiritual discipline in the Christian's life today, as we refuse to enter God's rest. God took it seriously. Now, some of us are struggling with, well, I'm going through all this. I'm waiting for the goodness of God. I hear God's good. I believe God's good. I've been taught God is good. But why would God in his goodness allow me to deal with all of this? I'm so burdened and I'm heavy laden with it. There's no rest for me until all of this clears up. But here's the truth you need to realize. This is how powerful rest is. The desperation of your circumstances is reconciled with God's goodness to you in his place of rest. When you enter into God's rest, you perfectly know, well, circumstances right there, but God's goodness all over me. Won't be struggling with it. Won't be asking that question from a place of rest. Then let's go on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, a promise remains even to this day of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Let me stop right there. A promise remains. And the Bible does not give us permission to fear many things. We're to fear God in awe and reverence. But the Bible says 365 times, fear not, fear not. It can be talking about your worst enemy, your greatest nightmare, and it'll say, fear not. Somebody said there's a fear not in the Bible for every day of the year, 365. But God makes an exception when it comes to fear, when it comes to entering his rest. It just said, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of his rest. God's taking it serious this morning. Next verse. For indeed, the gospel was preached, listen to these words, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You know, those words shocked me a few years ago when I read it, because this is God's word. It is sharp and powerful and living. The word quick means living. It's alive and breathing. It's very capable. It is God's word. But they heard it, and we heard it, but they heard it, and it didn't profit them. Just because you hear me this morning speak a word does not guarantee profit from that word for you, unless it's mixed with faith. Unbelief creeps in. It's like a ghost. You can barely see an apparition. It's just not even visible sometimes, but it's very real. And unbelief is what kept God's people from enjoying his rest. And he said, you'll enjoy rest from all your enemies. Wouldn't that be a good promise to cash in on? Rest from all of your enemies. And everybody heard the word, but it didn't profit some. Because when they heard the word, and I'm a believer on hearing the word, you know how I feel about it. God's a great communicator. If he's got anything to say, he can speak clearly. Oh, if he wants to get your attention, he can do it any way he wants to. It's hard to miss God. It's easy to hear from God. But sometimes people hear from God, like the children of Israel. There's a promise. I'm giving this to you. I'm leading you there. Go in now and possess it. And when you cross the border, you'll have rest in my promise. Well, I don't believe that. They heard it, just didn't believe it. Everybody say out loud, I'm hearing it this morning, and I believe it. Okay, then. I feel a little bit better. Unbelief belongs to those who are informed but unresponsive. They heard it, didn't believe it. They were informed about the promise of God. It was very clear. The prophet spoke verbatim the word of the Lord concerning the promise and rest waiting for them in the promised land. They were informed, but they did not respond with faith. Their response was only in unbelief. Now, Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Two very important things. They all got together with Jesus, gave him good reports. Oh, Master, we've been out on the field. We've been signs and miracles. We've been performing miracles. Oh, here's all that we've done. And we want to give you a good report on all that we've taught. We've learned from you. We've watched you. And now we've been out ministering, doing, and teaching. Good things. Next verse. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Sometimes you can get so busy doing that you neglect some things that are going to be very important within a few hours, like eating. I'm thinking probably within an hour. Eating's going to be very important to most of us. Within 1 hour, they came in and gave a report to Jesus. All the apostles gathered together. We've been doing. We've been teaching. What did he say? Bravo. And let me give you a gold star. Or some people would think Jesus would have said, well, you haven't done enough. Go back and wear yourself out again. No. He said, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. I'm telling you, rest is important. When you go out to lunch at your favorite restaurant in just a few minutes, and the Baptist people at the table next to yours ask you, what did your preacher talk about today? You tell them, he said rest was pretty important. God's rest, his place of rest. Now, God is much better to us than he is to an unclean spirit. It's the unclean spirit that never finds rest. Hello? The Bible says an unclean spirit roams about seeking rest and finds none. Do you think God wants to treat us like he would treat an unclean spirit? No. We are Holy Spirit owned and led. Our lives are managed by God, the Holy Spirit. Unclean spirit has no place here if we're filled with Holy Spirit. And we qualify as children of God to be led by the Spirit to a place of rest. If you cannot find a place of rest, you're living no better a quality of life than an unclean spirit that's been cast out and roaming around seeking rest he never finds. Rick Renner, who's my favorite Greek teacher, defines these words like this. The word labor, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor. The word labor in the Greek, Rick says, describes the most wearisome kind of labor. The person is giving everything and has been laboring under this load without a pause for a very long time. That's fatiguing, exhausting, depleting. Just to hear it. Somebody who's labored under a heavy burden without a break, without a pause, over an extended period of time. Some of you know what that feels like. And then the promise is to you. The promise is to all. That word is important sometimes. Small word, big significance. All you who labor, come to me, Jesus said. It's for all. If you're here today heavy burdened and laden down, the invitation is for you. Jesus said, all of you who labor. God is not picking an elite few to enter his rest. The invitation is to all who are worn out, tired, and weary, and know the promise of God is that he has a place of rest for you, rest for your soul. And he puts a priority on it. God himself set the example by resting. And he wasn't even tired. Jesus never promised that he would take difficult challenges away from you. However, he did promise if you would come to him, he would give you the rest you need in order to be refreshed for the continuation and the conclusion of your journey. It's impossible to get there in one piece without rest. And it's available. Supernatural refreshing. Rick Renner says, take my yoke. That phrase, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. It literally means to be harnessed together with Jesus. A yoke refers to an apparatus that would strap two oxen together or two beasts that could work the fields. Not one, but two. The yoke would keep them together, harnessed together, inseparable. Is that how close we are to Jesus? That we are yoked together with him? That's where his rest is. You'll find the rest when you're yoked together with Jesus. Rick Renner says it's inseparable. You and Jesus, inseparable. Whatever the load you're carrying, whatever burden, whatever journey you're on, inseparable from Jesus. Close, harnessed together. The strength you and Jesus have together is unbeatable. Now, if you're tired and weary like we are in the natural sometimes, only in the natural, tired and weary, and you think, well, I could use a hammock this afternoon. Jesus said, no, you need a yoke, not a hammock, a yoke. You need to be harnessed with me. If you're tired and exhausted, come this way, Jesus said. I'll give you rest. And while you're this close to me, he said, learn from me. That's another very important aspect of being harnessed together. A wise farmer in ancient days of agriculture would pair up a young, weak, unlearned, rough around the edges, unproven, untested ox right beside, harnessed together with an older, very experienced, tried and true, tested and proven ox that knew how to obey the farmer and to get the job done in the fields. And the purpose for that was the wise farmer knew the best way for this young ox to learn how to do it right is to pair him up and harness him together, yoke him together with an ox that has all the experience you need, who's done it many times before, who never misses the mark. And that young ox will learn from the older one while he's harnessed and yoked together, bound together at the neck. And that's the way it is with us in Jesus. Jesus says, I want that kind of relationship with you. I want you to be inseparable from me. I want you to harness yourself together with me. We're going to be an unbeatable team. And while you're this close to me, Jesus says, learn from me. The yoke is a place of learning. And strangely, you find it in his rest. When you come to him, we cannot learn anything if we're not around the teacher. Being harnessed together with Jesus, we can learn all we need. Here's a good confession. I want you to put this on the board. I want everybody to say it out loud. It'll make you feel better. I am yoked together with Christ, and I am teachable. Say it. I am yoked together with Christ, and I am teachable. Say it again.
I am yoked together with Christ, and I am teachable.
That's your position. Make it your experience. It is positionally available for all, not a few elite, but all who are burdened down and heavy laden. It's the invitation. Jesus said, come to me. I'll give you an easier burden than the one you're carrying. I am yoked together with Christ, and I am teachable in that place. And then, easy and light. When you're yoked together with Jesus, even the most difficult assignments become pleasurable. That's grace for you. I remember years ago, many years ago, a husband and a wife in the church were fighting. And everybody saw it. Now today it would be on Facebook. Back then, before Facebook. But everybody saw it. They just didn't get along. They were professional quarrelers with one another. And all of a sudden, they started getting along better, and everybody noticed. Well, they're getting along better. And I happened to be at a restaurant here in Florence. I was on my way out, going out the door, when this couple was coming in the door to the restaurant. And I had just 1 second or two to greet them and say, you know, y'all seem to be doing wonderful these days. Y'all seem to be getting along much better. And the wife said to me, all of a sudden, it just got easier. And when she said it, I realized that's a definition of God's grace. Something can be so difficult, an assignment, a project, your lot in life. It can be a hard thing. It can be most difficult, but pour the grace of God on you and it becomes pleasurable. God's grace can make a difficult thing become so much easier. I'm going to close with the Passion translation. It says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. I'll tell you what's mind-blowing. If your mind hadn't been blown lately, let this do it as we close. The Passion Translation, Jesus said, you will discover that I'm easy to please. Imagine God being easy to please. Some of us, some of you, grew up with a different image of God altogether. Like the parable Jesus told, where the man who was given a little bit to invest said to the master, when his master came wanting an account, he said, I knew you were a hard taskmaster and you were hard to please. Oh, our God's not hard to please. And the best way to please him is in the place of rest. Just rest with him. Have your life joined together with his. He is our oasis. We learn from him in that position. And we discover how gentle he is, how humble he is. And our God is easy to please when we're resting with him. We find refreshment in him. And everything he requires out of us is easy to bear. Now that's the word.